Everybody turn with me to page number 123.
I thirsted in a barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul may satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod, I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, now am I, my soul may satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? The fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul may satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply.
Page number 97. Page 97.
Walks
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. A little rainy and drizzly outside, but it's always bright and beautiful in here. Jeff told us this morning in class he wanted to go a little bit off track. We didn't know where he was going, but we had a wonderful lesson. And so that's what happens when you follow the leadership of the Spirit. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you. And I know the rest of you had good classes as well, and I'm thankful for that. If you miss Sunday school class, you're really missing a blessing.
Amen.
Good singing, happy birthdays and anniversaries, and it's just good to be here. Have a lot of prayer requests and things. Don't have many announcements at this point, but it'll pick back up here before long. So this morning, second time the plate is passed will be for the youth fund offering. That feeds the kids on Wednesday nights and takes care of that kind of stuff, outings and whatnot. So we've got a few things scheduled for this coming up year we're talking about at least. We may talk about that some next Sunday night when our business meeting. But next Saturday, a VBS seminar, North Hills Baptist Church. In Texarkana, if you're going to that, you need to be there at 8 o'clock. It gets out about 12:30. I know you've been talking about it or not. I don't know who's going or what, but we've been announcing it for a while. That's next Saturday. So if you want to go, you've got a few days left to get that in line. Next Sunday morning, March 1st, business building fund offering. So we got some stuff that we've been talking about in business meeting, and we got some reports to give business meeting, which is next Sunday night as well, so I encourage you to come. We got some stuff that we've been talking about, like I say, and if you want to know what that is, I'm not telling you today. You'll have to come next Sunday night. Tuesday, March 3rd, 6 o'clock p.m. will be the Lord's Supper prepared by Miss Jerry Harrison, so all the members, please come back to that. Nursery attendance this morning, LaVita Kaiser and Vicki Ragsdale. Next Sunday, Cindy and Jerry Harrison. Any other announcements?
Page number 106.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned.
Good to see everybody out this morning. Raining outside, but let me tell you, the sun's shining in here. And I have to tell you why. I had a special prayer this morning and invited the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. And anywhere God is, that's where the light's going to be. So it's going to be a wonderful day in the Lord, even though it is raining outside. Choir's got another new special for you this morning. I tell you, I work them hard. No wonder some of y'all don't want to come to the choir. No, we have a good time. We really do. But we got it. We have a good choir special for you this morning. It's entitled, I've Been Changed.
Puts all them notes in that pen. I didn't know it had all them in there, but thank you, Linda Gale. We appreciate you as well. We got a lot of folk out missing, you know, sick, traveling, whatnot, so this stuff just keeps hanging on, so continue to pray for them as they might be back with us this morning. As we continue in our prayer series, this is a wonderful sermon this morning. I just pray that God would use me, and that the sermon that he has for you would come out in the manner that he would have it to be. So y'all pray for me. I would appreciate it very much. We're going to be reading from Romans chapter 3, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 18. Now, as I've said, every Sunday morning, I believe, since we started all this, is no matter how much I read and learn, if I never apply it, it's useless. I think we need to get that ingrained in our mind that we have to apply what we learn for it to be of any use to us or anyone else or God. God's given us the directions that he would have us to go and what he'd have us to do in his word. But if we don't use it, a lot of the world never gets it. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. I always look forward to it very much. I believe a wonderful sermon from God's Word today about forgiveness as we work our way down through. If you would, please stand with me. We'll recite the Lord's Prayer and then we'll begin. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. As we said, we're working our way through the Lord's Prayer, one word, one verse, one thought at a time. And this morning, I believe, is one of very much importance that we get in our studies. We've talked about who we pray to. We pray to God Almighty. We have talked about who we pray through. We pray through Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is our high priest. He sits on the right hand of the Father. We have talked about where God lives in heaven. We have talked about how holy God is. That we have come to pray for His kingdom to come in earth as it is in heaven. That's His will and everything done. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're striving for. And last week we talked about our daily bread. And I enjoyed the study about our daily bread because it always brings to my mind the remembrance that everything that I need and a lot of what I want, God grants me through His graciousness. It all belongs to Him, folks, not mine. And it's not yours. So we thank Him for taking care of our needs. But this morning we're going to talk about forgiveness. It's not an easy thing a lot of times to forgive. But God forgave freely. I've had many conversations with people over the years of various age groups and just different walks in life. And many of them, whenever you bring it up, they say, I just want what I got coming to me. I don't want anything else. Has anybody ever heard that saying? Well, you know, I know they're talking about things that they've worked for and paid for, and most of it comes out of a conversation that had to do with something that was stolen or taken or wrongfully charged or something like that. But I always use it every time to try to bring it back around to God. Here's what I say. I'm glad I'm not getting what I deserve. Because the Bible tells me that I'm no good. And you'll get a response, usually in one way or the other, that will lead you to understand that they understand the grace of God. Or you will get a response that leads you to understand that they know nothing about the grace of God, and it will open the door whereby you might tell them that Jesus Christ gave His life for them. God has forgiven your sins this morning, friend. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God still has forgiven your sins, but you have to claim it. The price has been paid, and a great price that it was. The Son of God giving His life there. You have to accept this payment. Now, the action required by you is the acceptance of this gift of God. We are told in Ephesians 2 that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it, my friend, is a gift of God. It's not of works. You don't have anything to boast about. Jesus Christ did all the heavy lifting. All you have to do is accept it. And when you do, the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed, that precious blood that was shed on the cross there will cover your sins, and God will forgive you your sin debt. In Romans 3:23, I want to read just a few verses there, if you will. Part of them I know you know by heart. I'm going to start in verse 23, and it says very plainly, for all have sinned. Now that means me, you, and everybody else that's ever been born. For all have sinned, and we have all come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified. I love that word. You know what it really means? Just if I had never sinned. That's how you are whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You become just like you've never sinned, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did and God. Freely. By His grace. Through the redemption or paying the price, that is Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or payment through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So, here we are, friend. We're all sinners. God, our righteous God, cannot be in the presence of sin. It's physically, spiritually, and mentally impossible for a righteous God to be in the presence of sin. So, if you want to go, or if you want to get to where God is, you must be sin-free. Well, wait a minute, preacher. We just read the scripture and said we're all sinners, guilty. But we also know that through the price that God paid through Jesus Christ, we are not held accountable because Jesus paid the price. So, it's really simple. God made it even simple enough for an old hick from Jesseville, Arkansas that don't speak good English to understand that it's all about the blood and it's all about the gift and all I have to do is accept it. You see, it's available to everyone, rich or poor. No matter your stature in life, no matter where you're born, no matter where you live, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. That's that gift. That's that payment. That's the payment for the penalty. Sin. So when we accept Jesus Christ, then we become covered in the blood and we are no longer sin. We can be in the presence of God. One of these days we're getting a glorified body and then we can physically be with Him. But right now, the blood covers. Alright? In God's righteousness, He requires payment for sin. Period. There has to be payment. We're incapable of paying the price because of our very nature. It is built into our DNA to sin. This sin nature is passed down through the men, and each child that is born with this sin nature, and it is physically impossible for us to live without sin. But Jesus' Father is God Almighty, and He was born of the Virgin Mary, and He lived a sinless, spotless, righteous life. And He gave Himself on the cross. He paid the price there at Calvary for all sin. We're incapable of paying our own price. He's already done it. All we have to do is accept it. Now, if you decide to, if you accept this payment and you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. He is faithful and just to do that. Save you from the penalty. Trusting Him. When He says that I am God in the flesh, I come from on high, I am resurrected, I'm coming again. That where I am, there might I receive you unto myself. He's going to do that, friend. If we have faith in Him, we know it's true. He's going to call us up to heaven. Either when we die or when Jesus comes back, we're going to be united with Him. Praise the Lord because of what He did on the cross. But you see, God being God has given us the freedom of choice, and so you can choose if you desire to try to pay that price yourself. And I got news for you, though. If you choose this path, you will be found lacking when you stand before Jesus in judgment. And your eternal destination is going to be away from God. You cannot pay the price of sin yourself. It's impossible because of your nature, my nature. Therefore, Jesus is the answer. He paid a price. But God being God, He allowed us to choose. Choose wisely. Now we will all be judged at one of two judgments. And when we stand before Jesus Christ, He is the one that's going to judge. He's been given the power. I believe that we understand this principle, and we've talked about it a lot, but I had to go over it this morning. And as we look at the Lord's Prayer, here's what I want us to get. It says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You see, if you're a born-again believer, Jesus Christ, God has forgiven you your debt. Now, look closely at the Scripture. We believe God has forgiven us. Amen? Then we who have been forgiven, listen close, are required to forgive others. Amen?
Amen?
To forgive our fellow man a debt owed us. Now, we're not talking about a monetary debt. If you owe someone money, either for services rendered or something that you borrowed or whatever, pay what you owe. Pay it back. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about people who do you wrong. Someone who has done something against you. Someone who has maybe besmirched your name or said bad things about you. There's so many things that people do to each other. And if we're not real careful, we hold grudges and we have hard feelings about something maybe even that we perceived that they've done. It maybe wasn't intended. Maybe it wasn't even done. We're just in our thoughts. Let me tell you something, friend. That drives a wedge between you and God. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. There are only two kinds of people here on this earth. There's lost sinners and saved sinners. And that's really the difference, is the blood. Now, you continue to sin after your salvation. I got news for you, friend. If you think you're living above sin after you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are fooling yourself. Be honest with yourself. We all sin. You're born with this inability to live a sinless life because of Adam, because of the choice that he made. Sin nature is passed down through the male. We know this. We all have it, each and every one of us. But God continues to forgive us even after salvation when we sin. Repent of those sins and ask forgiveness. That doesn't mean lost and saved, then I have to get saved again and then I'm lost again. That's not what we're talking about. If you truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved for eternity. But we continue to sin, so we have a need to continue to repent. Well, I pray constantly that God would convict me of sins that I don't even know I commit. Because we should desire to walk as close to God as we can, and sin gets in our way. But you see, when people sin against us, that also gets in our way. If we don't give it away, give it back. Down just a few scriptures in Matthew 6, we're not going to read them. It says after we read the Lord's Prayer, in verse 14, If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, when you get down on your knees or however you situate yourself when you pray and you ask God to forgive your sins, have you taken time to forgive others their debts to you? If you haven't, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Your prayers are not getting past the rafters. We're commanded to forgive others. You know, someone has done you wrong. Maybe somebody told a lie about you. Maybe someone took something that belonged to you and didn't bring it back. Maybe someone has gossiped about you and spread vicious rumors. I'm talking about things that are done to you. If you haven't forgiven their sins, God's not going to forgive you your sins after salvation. I'm not talking about your salvation here. I hope you understand that. Don't leave here this morning and say, that preacher said if I sin, I was going to lose my salvation. That's not what I'm saying. If you're saved, you're saved. But listen, there's consequences to your actions after salvation. Amen. If you don't believe that, then Satan has led you astray. Your reward from God when Jesus comes back will be affected by your unrepentant sins. You'll be judged by the deeds done in the body after your salvation. We all stand before Jesus in judgment. Those of us who are at the judgment seat of Christ are there because we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your eternal destiny is sealed, but you will be judged for the deeds done in the body. Matthew 18. Beginning in verse 21. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I want to stop there for just a second. I know you've all heard the story, but I'm going to read it anyway. But now, as a human being and as a person, I would think if someone committed sin against me or done me wrong seven times, I should probably be able to just say, I'm done with you. But listen to what the scripture says. How oft? Seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now the number is really not important here. We can all do the math, but if you're sitting here counting each sin until you get to that number, you are not having the right spirit. Because truly, Jesus Christ, God, has forgiven us way more than that number in our lifetime. What God's saying here is, no matter how many times someone sins against you, you forgive them. Forgive them that sin. Let me tell you something, friend. If you don't, that sin will get between you and your relationship with God. Forgive them. 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven, in verse 23, likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a pretty good number, right? 10,000. He owed him a lot. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made, indentured servitude. Okay? He's going to be a slave because of the price. But the servant, in verse 26, therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Not very much. And he laid hands on him. He took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. Now can you imagine having come before the Lord and gotten forgiveness of a great number or amount, and then went over to someone that owed you a small amount, grabbed him literally by the throat and said, you're going to pay me or else. Something wrong with that picture. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Same thing that he told the Lord. And he would not. But he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Listen to me, friend, that's us. Jesus Christ forgave us all our debt. Because thou desirest me, you ask. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Have you gotten down on your knees and ask God to forgive you of a sin, and not forgiven someone else who sinned against you? Do you have hard feelings in your heart? Is what it really boils down to, against one of your fellow brothers or sisters or someone that you know, and you prayed to God to forgive you of your sins, and you retained these hard feelings. Let me tell you something. If you prayed for forgiveness in a situation like that, your prayers didn't get past the ceiling. That's pretty harsh, preacher. Well, you know, if they didn't come and ask me to forgive them, I don't read in the scripture where it says they have to come and ask. What I read is that we're required to forgive them. Period. You see, it's your heart condition and your relationship with God that you're dealing with. And let me tell you something else. When you forgive people for what they've done to you, they see a different person than they see normally in the world. And it makes them wonder, I wonder what he or she has that I don't have. I could never do that. You see, you forgive them whether they ask to be forgiven or not. Are you willing to bear your burden alone? That's what happens whenever you don't forgive others their trespasses against you. Your burden continues to get heavier and heavier and bigger and bigger. I know you're better than me, but you see sin continue to pile up until we get forgiveness of it. The scripture tells us if we don't forgive our brothers, and God's not going to forgive us, how heavy is your load? How big is your burden? Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin before you ask him to. He freely gave himself before you were even born. Before you asked him to forgive you, he paid the price. Listen, friend, he is our example. Forgive. Forgive others. Holding a grudge against someone who somehow mistreated you is a heavy burden to bear, friends. We've probably all been there. A burden that continues to weigh us down. And the more people who do something wrong to us, the heavier the weight gets, the burden gets. Listen, God wants us to be free. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to enjoy life. And God wants us to show the love that he has for us to a lost and dying world. And the only way we can do that is to be better than this sinful world. And the only way that we can do that is through Jesus Christ. That's why he came, so that you could be free of this burden. You can't be free with a load of hatred in your heart. If you've tried it, or maybe you're in the middle of it, you can't be free. You can't be truly happy. You can't truly serve God until you get rid of the burden. Get rid of it. Oh, that's easier said than done. Forgive them. It's what Jesus did. He said he wouldn't hold it against us anymore. Forgive them. He will set you free. Matthew chapter 11. And one of my favorite scriptures. You don't have to turn there. You can. But verse 28, it says, come. This is Jesus speaking. Come. You hear Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, if you're burdened down with the cares of the world and someone's mistreated you or done something wrong to you, Jesus said, bring it to me. I'll give you rest from it. You know, our desires as Christians should be that we never do anyone wrong or never sin against anyone. That should be our desire. That should be our goal in life. But friend, we are just human. And we make mistakes, each and every one of us, myself included. Here's what I want you to know this morning. If I've done something to you I didn't intend to, please forgive me. If you've done something to me, maybe you've spoken about me behind my back or something, I don't know. I forgive you. I don't hold it against you. You see, we start today with the rest of the life that we have to live here on this earth. And it's too short to be burdened down with hatred or envy or spite. The scripture is very clear. Jesus Christ freely forgave us. We are commanded to freely forgive others. This morning, I want to ask you this very simple question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Friend, if you don't, you're carrying a heavy load, a great burden. He said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get rid of that burden. But maybe you're here this morning, and you're saved, born again believer. You know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you your sins. You know your eternal destiny, but you're struggling with something that someone did to you, said about you. You, my friend, are also burdened. It's this heavy load. Jesus is talking to you as well. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye. You see, this is Jesus telling all of us, lost and saved, to give him our burden. This morning, I invite you to get rid of your burdens in this life and give them to Jesus. Come unto him. Give him your load. Forgive those who have wronged you. And live the rest of your life free from that burden. It's what Jesus did for us. He is our example. We are commanded. So, it's up to you. God does give us choice. You can choose to carry that load, miss the blessings in life that God has planned for you, or you can come down the aisle this morning, kneel here at the altar, give your burden to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can come right down that altar. Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins, save your soul. And your eternal destiny in the presence of God will be sealed. I don't know your heart, but God does. And if you'll search deeply in your heart, you do as well. Listen to Jesus, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to ask Gene and Linda Gill to come, if you'll stand with me, please. Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful that you forgave us of our sins, and Lord, I'm thankful that you continue to forgive me of my sins, and Lord, I pray that you would help me work on myself. Lord, I thank you for all your answered, my answered prayers that you've given. You're so great, you're so good. Lord, this morning as we stand here before you and before your throne of grace, we just, Lord, I just pray that anyone here that has a burden, if there's any lost here, Lord, that burden is great, that they would come and accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. But maybe, Lord, there's those that are burdened with something they've done to someone else that they just are never going to get rid of until they first forgive themselves, and then maybe they need to go and ask them to forgive them, Lord, to get rid of it. But even if we're not asked, Lord, help us to do what the Word says and forgive others like you freely forgive us, that our load might be lifted, that our burden would be light, that we can truly serve you in spirit and in truth and in love. Thank you for the grace that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray these things. Amen.
Page 191.
Just as I am.
Truly, the words that are spoken in that song is just the way we have to come, just like we are. And, you know, sometimes I think that we get weighted down with the cares and the burdens of the world, and we may think that, you know, I went too far and I can't come back. Let me tell you something, friend. God never left you.
Amen.
And if you're separated from God, all you have to do is go back to where you left Him. He's waiting there. Just as I am. That's how He takes us. We're all imperfect vessels. Y'all are all better than me. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, though, will take me as I am when I come before the throne of grace. He's faithful and just as you are. Whatever you need, whatever burden you bear, Jesus will take it. Jesus will bless your life. If you'll just come to Him just as you are, we sing another verse.
Just as